December 4th, 2023. This one's called Stress Less. Greetings, everyone. So for today's wee tidbit, I want to talk about habits. Many of these are modern habits, tech-induced habits, and some not so much, that cause stress to the system. So when we're talking about stress, we're talking about essentially distress, because it's a stress that basically takes a toll and causes physical, mental, spiritual, psychic symptoms, as opposed to something like a eustress, which would actually be a stress that was somewhat helpful. Not in the way that a lot of these low carbers are talking about hormesis. A lot of that is really just distress, especially if a person is already in a state of distress. But for today, we're essentially going to be talking about distress, but referring to it as stress. So we all have stress. Just living in this world, being around all the smells, the Zog fog, the Wi-Fi, the sounds, that in and of itself is a stress that our ancestors didn't have to deal with. So these days, it's just part of the human experience. Some stress can be good for us, our body's natural way of protecting us from danger and responding to challenges. So that is good. We need to have the stress response in general. Otherwise, we wouldn't be able to discern whether something was negative or dangerous or needing us to respond with action, right? But over time, chronic, unmanaged stress can create problems with emotional and physical health, leading to issues like depression, anxiety, heart disease, diabetes, weight gain, and rapid aging, because stress makes you look and feel older, and it can impact your ability to be the best in all milieus of your life. And these days, we even have people who I would consider youngsters in their teens and 20s dealing with chronic stress. So what are some signs that you, the listener, may be experiencing chronic stress? Physical symptoms like always being sick with colds, headaches, sore muscles, stomach problems, trouble sleeping, engaging in numbing, addictive, or unhealthy behaviors, conflicts with your relationships at home or in the workplace, withdrawing from important people in your life, struggling to be focused and engaged at work. So those are all symptoms of being in a chronic stress state. They sound like pretty common things that would be occurring for a person or happening for a person. So there are many ways to be less stressed. Taking a hike, getting out in nature, that's a great thing. What the Japanese call forest bathing makes people less anxious, get your blood flow going. Even like 20 minutes can totally do it. Music is also a good thing, but then again, some music, depending on the hertz, can actually make you feel more stressed. I suspect that a lot of that auto-tuned music, which is wildly popular in the last 20 years, can actually induce a stress response. I think some chill stuff, like I enjoy like the chill vibes of listening to like shamanic drumming. There's always like flute music, some of the stuff that's considered to be yoga music, the Amerindian or Native American music, the Celtic music, the Indian or Vedic music, ambient sounds. I think a lot of this is really relaxing and creates like a really like groovy vibe. Breathing, and we're going to talk more about this in a little bit. Breathing is really important too. Most of us are going around breathing super shallow, not even aware that we're actually hyperventilating. And then when we sleep, we're breathing through our mouth, which is a stress unto itself. And if we do that chronically, it can actually make our faces get longer and thus age. A hug. A good hug is a great way to lower stress. This reduces, releases oxytocin. This is the snuggle hormone, produces calm and relaxation. And it could be hugging friends, family, or pets. Don't ever underestimate the stress-busting ability of pets. Pets are amazing, and they're always part of the family, too. So anyone who has pets knows out there how important pets are to just feeling good for you, but also for them feeling good. You can tell that when they love you, they really do love you. And something else we're going to talk about in just a second is be a stress detective. You have to basically ferret out why this is happening, why you're having their response, which is part of what they call somatic therapy, where you're working with the body. Most of the time, traditional chat therapy, you know, CBT, cognitive behavioral therapy, focuses just on the cerebral aspects, which sometimes can be validating. If someone's going through something where no one actually believes them, it can be very validating to get someone to say, hey man, I've been there, or I see you, I witness you, and I understand what you're going through and I believe you. So that's can be very, very helpful. But it really keeps someone, if they keep on going through that cycle, at least this is what I have in what I have researched and what I've actually experienced in my own personal experience, is that it keeps a person in a cycle of rewounding. They're constantly talking about this thing or these things that have harmed them or caused them trauma or have basically become traumatic events for them, and they don't get to the reason, like why they have tension somewhere in their body or why they have a medical problem somewhere in their body. So we have to be able to listen to the body and understand why we're having the stress response in the first place. So now a little bit about how to avoid unnecessary stress and how to manage stress. And these are probably easier said than done, like anything is, but a lot of this is actually free too, which is great. How much information out there requires you to buy something that maybe you don't want to make the investment in, spend a lot of time taking in some information, which may be just an absolute hollow hoax, buying expensive supplements, which just are gonna basically give you expensive piss and attacks liver. This is all completely doable, and you can do it in steps too. No one says you have to do this overnight and make all these changes. For some people that might work. I mean, sometimes a cold turkey approach to something that's deleterious to one's health is actually the best approach. Like I know with myself, with marijuana, the best approach was cold turkey. If I had just kept on titrating lower and lower and lower, I would have kept myself in that thing. Well, oh, a little bit is okay, but I really wasn't able to make certain breakthroughs in my life until I was able to fully mitigate that and get into a different mindset. So like we talked about on the Vibrant 8 a couple of days ago, mindset is super important, especially when it comes to managing stress and keeping things in the chill zone. So here are ways to avoid unnecessary stress. So number one would be to time limit yourself on applications. A better thing also to expand on this would be maybe to use no applications. For some humans, that may not be a feasible event or task at current time. I find that actually not having the notifications on for applications is helpful. The only notification I have on for applications is YouTube, but I kind of consider that a little bit different than just the classical antisocial medias. But I don't have on any notifications for Twitter, for Facebook, for Instagroid, Tumblegram, none of that. If I want to go on there, I go on there physically on my phone or I use my computer. So time limiting the apps as well. Going back to the first thing I said, creating a time limit so you don't just like mindlessly scroll and scroll and scroll and scroll and scroll. You're never going to be able to see everything on the internet. You'd have to give up your life and live it 1,000 times to be able to do that. So we have to realize that we're never going to be able to see it all. And everything we take in, not all of it is going to be usable information too. The best thing we can do is take in information that boosts our morale, strengthens our value system and makes us laugh, as opposed to things that make us really angry or jealous or fearful, which is a lot of the stuff on the antisocial media or the applications. And a lot of applications are completely and totally useless. And I'll go into that in a little bit more when I talk about managing stress. Another one that's really important, no phone 1 hour after waking. It's a real shit habit to look at your mobile straight away when you get out of bed. This will lower your thyroid function. This will lower your pregnenolone, which is the master sex hormone where all the other sex hormones like progesterone and testosterone are made from. And people wonder why they feel absolutely horrible because they're doing this. Like I know of people who will wake up in a dark room, not open up the shade and go outside first thing in the morning. They will sit in a dark room and they will just turn on their computer straight away and they will you know, look at their mobile, look at their computer, not eat, because we always want to eat within 30 minutes to 1 hour of waking. And then, you know, maybe utilize caffeine on an empty stomach, utilize marijuana, and wonder why they feel horrible. There's a reason. Your choices equal how you feel, and that's just the reality of it. So if you don't feel very good right now, you have to question what you're doing to feel like shit. Number three, stop associating with low energy people. This is IRL. This is online. A lot of people are low energy. This is just the reality of what things are. And it's not your responsibility to change their low energy status. It's their own thing to basically solve. And some people, maybe it's part of their experience. I mean, this is kind of an up for grabs philosophical take on it, but is it just their experience? Is this part of what they need to get to the next thing? Is this because they're stuck in some key stagnation and some trauma where their vril can't freely flow? Who knows? But it's not your job. It's not your responsibility to basically solve that, right? And I wrote something the other day on Talmudgram, kind of playing into this whole theme that we're speaking about right now. And it talked about, here it is. Let's see, just scroll up just a moment so we can see it. Emotional slavery equals being responsible for another person's feelings. So you're not responsible for another person's feelings. How they feel is how they feel. And when we're responsible for it, then we take on that codependency, which is such a thing these days, and a highlight of really being a healthy person, something that a lot of humans don't really talk about, a lot of health gurus and such don't talk about. But a healthy person doesn't really give a shit what anybody else thinks of them, and they also have a childlike, kind of like a goofy connotation. They can laugh at themselves. They know how to have fun, and that's kind of the way children are, because they're in typically most of the time, not maybe now because a lot of things have happened in the last decades and generations, but being in that state is basically the state of a youthful metabolism, of healthy organ function. Think when someone is feeling shitty or sick. It could be something acute like influenza or the common cold. It could be something like a chronic thing. Most of the time when people don't feel good, they aren't very much in a good mood. They can also lash out. There's a correlation between people having high serotonin and being like really aggressive and just being really snarly to people. Also having like this numbness, which sometimes coincides with that. And there's a reason, because a lot of these things we're talking about, like having high stress, you know, chronically abusing marijuana and alcohol, eating tons of wheat, not getting enough sunlight, all of these are going to create a very serotonergic response in the system. And that's going to make someone feel ill. They're not going to feel optimized. So when you feel optimized, you feel extremely childlike. You want to be goofy. You want to make jokes. You want to have a good time. You want to smile. You want to get high on life, because life is so great. It's so beautiful. There's so much ecstasy and bliss. And like I said, you don't give a shit about judgment from other people in any way, shape, or form, because you're doing your thing. And it makes me think of anytime I've seen a youngster in person, like a baby, dance or on the internet, they don't care. They're just moving their body in the natural way that they want to move their body. They don't have any of the trauma stored in their hips. They're not thinking about some shit comment someone made in real life or online. They are completely unburdened by that because they have this healthy, optimized state. So in order to do that, stop associating with low energy and toxic people. Number four, switch anti-social media feed from, quote, for you to following. So I think that's a way. I don't really know how to do this, and I don't really do a lot of this online. Like, I have very few things I look at. Facebook, I don't really even go on unless I'm really just chatting with, like, family. That's pretty much what I use Facebook for. Talmudgram, for the most part, I look at maybe 3 or 4 channels, and the rest is just me posting natural, real posts. And then on Instagram and Twitter, I have a couple of channels I will actually physically go to. I'm not much of a scroller, but if you are a scroller and that's how you operate on these applications, change your anti-social media feed from you to following. And that will actually let you see what you actually want to see as opposed to what they're trying to make you see and create to be your reality, because of course, we create our reality. I know, easier said than done, but we do. Now, the tips on how to manage the stress. So a lot of the unnecessary stress in our lives is going to come from technology and other people. Something to remember. Also food too. We're not going to touch too much on food right now, but food can be a major, major stress. It could make us extremely stimulatory, or it can make us feel very depressive, and it really should be balancing and nutrifying and nurturing us. But we'll talk about that more on another broadcast. So ways to manage our stress. Number one, meditation. This can be in the morning, sometimes in the morning and before bed. It doesn't have to be traditional type of meditation that most of us connote with being meditation. It can even be something like going outside first thing in the morning and, you know, looking at the birds. That could be a meditation. At night, it could be something like maybe a 10-minute stretch routine, maybe using your red light therapy. Get inventive with this. But when you have a practice like that, that creates stillness in the body and the mind, it creates emotional stillness. And when you're in these situations where you're really stressed out, you're able to think back and harness that energy that you create during that meditation moment. Number two, writing out daily and weekly tasks. This is very important. I do not suggest using your phone for this. I suggest everything that you can do without your phone, do without your phone. So yes, you need your phone to make calls. You need your phone to, search something on the web or, you know, look on your computer. You need your phone as a camera if you use it for that. But you don't need your phone as a weekly calendar or planner. Buy a paper or whatever, a planner that's, I guess it's made of paper. Buy an actual planner. Buy one for like $10 on Amazon Primate and write out your daily and weekly tasks on that. We need to be old school or just regular school on a lot of things. We don't want to be heavily dependent on using our mobile as a planner. We also want to know what our handwriting looks like too. A lot of people don't, which I think is like totally creepy. So get yourself a planner. There's a lot of great ones that even have tabs. So for the different months, they have organizers in the beginning for the actual full month and every day. They're spiral bound and they're great. A lot of them have inspirational quotes as well. Three would be deep breathing, especially throughout the day when you're stressed. If you breathe in and then you breathe out longer, that's really good for lowering the stress response. Sighing actually is too, just like that. Now, if someone's unnecessarily sighing, maybe unconsciously throughout the whole day, that in TCM can be a sign of key stagnation, particularly stagnation of the liver. So something to consider. And you would think also, just bridging these two things together, if someone is really, really stressed and they're sighing a lot, that's because their liver is on the fritz, because the liver is really the organ that takes the massive hit with stress. It's also the organ from the emotional perspective in TCM that's tied to anger. So something really to think about there. Another thing on the list is grounding. So that's walking outside, that's wearing grounding shoes, that's getting your feet on the bare earth. People actually do like grounding beds made with magnets. I'm not too sure how I feel about that. I personally don't do that myself. And some say it actually will increase kind of like emotional or mood disorder, like anxiety and depression. So maybe it's just one of those, you know, kind of like health gimmicks out there. Even sitting on the ground, like I am here right now, I always sit on the ground. Well, sometimes, rarely, I sit on the couch, but I basically have furniture in my house for other people. I don't have it for myself because I sit on the floor. But even sitting on the floor on a cushion can be very, very grounding. Natural sunlight, like we talked about before, super important. Even getting 20 minutes in the morning, super important. Any sunlight that you get in, the quantum community says this type of stuff, any sunlight you get into your body or in like your eyes, I think before noontime is actually like money in the bank for your circadian rhythm. So hey, it's free. Think about that. Really something to consider. And this is the antithesis of looking at your mobile straight away. So waking up, getting out of bed, not drawing the shades up, and then straight away going into the artificial blue light. And then oftentimes people who are doing this at night, they're blasting themselves with blue light. And then I'll oftentimes hear people like this tell me, it doesn't affect me. it affects everybody. No one is special in this regard. It affects everybody. Just some of us are more tuned in and embodied, and we're aware it affects us. Two more on the list. Cutting out processed food. So like I said, not going to talk too much about food today, but cutting out processed food, kind of a no-brainer, but something that's worth considering and saying anyway. Processed food is a major stress to the body. Most of the time, it's going to cause a depressive reaction. It's full of all different types of preservatives. It's full of toxins and chemicals like glyphosate. It's full of genetically modified organisms. It's usually full of polyunsaturated fats, azio-sludge seed oils. It's basically food that's going to create an intense dopaminergic reaction straight away, which people who are under stress, they seek cheap dopamine. You know, they pull their genitals out and they beat off. They shove toxic quote food in their mouth. They're looking to scroll on the happy applications. They gamble. They want to use drugs to get that fix. That's because they're not making enough endogenous dopamine, which is, it's kind of a shit place to be in. But it is curable. It just takes a while to get back to that homeostasis. But the dopamine receptors go into kind of a lag, so there aren't enough dopamine receptors. So then you can experience something like anhedonia because your body cannot use dopamine. And anhedonia is basically the feeling of numb and emptiness, unable to feel joy from the things you previously liked. So this is someone who may seek extreme risk-taking, adrenaline type of activities that are very dopaminergic, very hedonistic. Essentially, this is a state of extreme depression and very high serotonin, which we really want to avoid. Of course, Big Z wants us all anhedonic. One of the easiest ways to get anhedonic is to use weed on a regular basis, to use alcohol on a regular basis, to eat garbage food on a regular basis, to not get sunlight, to abuse yourself by looking at all this sludge technology 24/7. This is an easy way to get into that numb and dumb response where your body cannot even create the feel-good signals because you have blunted it by pushing the pedal to the metal on these exogenous ones that make you feel like sludge. And finally, writing out the causes of stress, like we were talking about in the beginning of this, being a stress detective, this is hella important. Reflect later to realize why they're significant or why they're insignificant. So this is really something to consider. And this is kind of part of the whole somatic work that we were talking about in the beginning of this little show. So writing out what causes you stress. For some people, it may be a lousy boss. Someone else, it may be a friend. Every time you see the friend, they have just, they're full of doom and gloom. Someone else, it may be, reaching for the wrong food. It could even be something like wearing clothes that don't fit. It could be something, just you have to become aware of it, become a stress detective. It's totally important, but it's worth talking about because a lot of us do these things because we're disembodied. We're totally not living in that juicy vibe, that frequency where we are aware of our patterns. Like the person who wakes up, doesn't draw the shades, and look straight away at their mobile and their computer, that person is not aware, or they don't want to be aware, possibly because of key stagnation, anhedonia, high serotonin, depression, anxiety, hopelessness, learned helplessness. A big thing with serotonin is learned helplessness. That's what Big Z wants for all of us, is learned helplessness. Not death, learned helplessness, basically being in this high stress state of slavery, essentially. And that is not anyone's birthright. So that's all I have for today. I've got to get on with the day, do some yoga, take a sauna, do the other things I do. I hope that was good listening for you. A lot of information here, totally digestible. Most of it's free. Make use of it. Listen to it a couple of times. You can't take it in now, listen to it in 6 months. But whatever you do, remember that you are the creator of your reality. And I will leave it at that until we meet again. Sat Nam.